Glory to God. You know, the Word tells us, and in fact, if you'll, this week's newsletter, this month's newsletter, talks about perilous times. And we are in perilous times, and there's a lot of, you know, where that which is good, people are speaking of as evil, and that which is evil, people are actually speaking that it's good. We're finding more fornication, more, all kind, and God is exposing a lot of things, not only in the body of Christ, but globally. There are a lot of things happening around the world. The Word tells us that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars, that brothers will go against brothers and so forth. And even if you look at what's happening in the world right now, even with the circumstance of supposedly terrorists, it's about a religious belief, isn't it? I mean, they actually believe that they're killing for God. and they're stuck in this, but it's not God. And in this arena where religion, all sorts of religions are forming, whether it be, Yahweh movement, Jehovah movement, whatever kind of movement. In the last couple hundred years, so many religions have popped up that it's phenomenal. And people are having a form of religion, a form of godliness, and we'll talk a little bit about it. And in true reality, they're going by works. They're not having that relationship. And it's called a spirit of religion. And this spirit of religion is one of the great deceptions because, you know, many of us have been involved in something that we felt if we did it or if we worked something, did this. In other words, let me give you an example. 12 steps. That's kind of religious. Because if we redid the 12 steps, it was actually a belief that if we completed the 12 steps, that we would be free. In fact, the last and final part of the 12-step program was a spiritual awakening. The problem is the spiritual awakening was supposed to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But people end up worshiping light bulbs and so forth. You know. So, you know, they worship cigarettes and caffeine. You know, they make the exchange. So there's really not freedom. Religion doesn't bring you freedom. It brings you bondage. Does everybody understand that? In fact, it puts us under a law and we begin to reject liberty of Christ and who Christ is. We begin to justify ourselves and what we're not doing wrong. Amen? Mm-hmm. Instead of what he's done. And that form of religion creeps in. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in that arena, because their state of being, in that arena of way, I am the way, then there's the truth, and then there's that life. And in the arena of life is where the Spirit dwells. And that's where you and I begin to walk in the Spirit. Because see, you can have truth and not be able to walk it. You can claim it and still not be free. Amen?
Amen.
And so we can walk in this arena where we're still walking in the outer courts of the presence of God and being bound by religion and not even knowing it. And let me share something with you. Many have started off the correct way and have fallen into religion.
Amen.
And have lost that relationship with the Lord. And they begin to go by and justify by what they're not doing compared to what they used to do. That's religion. And it's actually bondage. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 1? Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help us. Praise God. Galatians in chapter 1. Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says, and starting in verse 6, would you read it with me? I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Wow. Now, the word gospel represents a message of truth, which is not another, but, now listen, it says, now look at this, he says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's the same gospel, but you're misinterpreting it. It's not another gospel. It's the same message, but you're not getting it. You've turned away from it. Does everybody understand it? To another one. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's the same message, the same gospel, but it's being perverted. Perverted means it's not by the Spirit, it's by the man or by the flesh. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Come on, read it with me. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came to the what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Glory to the Lamb. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Oh, that religious spirit always wants to destroy the move of the Holy Spirit. And I advance in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Oh, hallelujah. See, Paul warned us that many will come with the same gospel, but they'll actually be preaching another Jesus. Does everybody understand? Hey, the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light, and even his righteous ministers, right, are actually servants of Satan. One of the things that the devil always wants to bring to me and you is bondage. He does not want to bring you freedom. Jesus is always trying to bring something to you. The devil is always trying to take something from you. Jesus is always leading you. The devil is always trying to push you. In fact, he's always trying to bring you to a place of want. See, when we really have that relationship in the Lord, there is not a want. There is a trust. In other words, he says he meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory and far above all you could ever ask or think. So if you really are in that place beyond religion, and in relationship, you know that you won't lack anything. That doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. In fact, mistakes are to be learned from, aren't they? Better to learn from someone else's, but you're going to make a mistake. Amen. And the whole thing is, in fact, even the Word says that you can fall 7 times or whatever and get back up, shake the dust off and go on. So you might bite the bait, spit it out quickly, repent, and get up and go. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you're in relationship, not religion. Religion will justify why we bit the bait. Amen. See, there's two arenas in the religious spirit. There's strongmen, it's called. The first powerful one is pride, and the second one is fear. So pride and fear are associated with the religious spirit. And he's very subtle. He can creep in and you don't even realize it. there's times when all of a sudden I'm associating with that religious spirit, and it's like when the Holy Ghost is going, that ain't me. And it's like, hallelujah. Get out of here, devil. Amen. So he says, listen, my gospel, in other words, the message of truth. Now, I want to share something with you. The message of truth hasn't stopped. The spirit of truth hasn't stopped. There are people who can only go as far as what's written. That's religion. Hallelujah. Revelations. You and I must go further than what is written. Because if you have a relationship with the writer, it's not bound by pages.
Amen.
Amen? Or you become religious. Oh, hallelujah. So you and I walk by revelation, don't we? We get confirmation for what's written, but what's written is not contained in this Bible 100%. Does everybody understand that? Because let me tell you, if everything that was written, you and I would be walking around about 14 big truckloads of the Word. And it still wouldn't be enough. Look up page 2,500. You know. So, it's not enough. In fact, let me share this with you then. There's going to be times when, if you're bound by religion, when there's something that you need to do and you need an answer, you need to have it from the throne room of God. Number one is the religious spirit won't wait on the answer because it's an anxious spirit. Number two, it will begin to create its own answer and claim it's God. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
And number three, the final result is stumbling. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, there isn't a believer on this earth that doesn't fall into it occasionally. If you fall into pride, you've fallen into a religious spirit. Amen? Pride and fear are the two strong men of a religious spirit. In Matthew chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Praise God. You can read it with me, please. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, sometimes this religious spirit believes that one repentance is sufficient. I repented already. See, repent means to turn away. Amen? Saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And that's where we got nut and honey cereal. Locusts are actually nuts. They were not flying. You know, can you imagine John trying to catch locusts off the tree, right? And verse 5. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their what? Their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" See, he knew that they were the main stumbling block to the people of God. Therefore, what? Bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, it's about bearing good fruit. And we know that's about the Spirit, isn't it? Amen. Because man can't bear good fruit in his own nature. He bears stinky fruit. John was talking about prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Go to Matthew 23. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to Matthew 3. And then we'll go to 23. Go back to Matthew 3. I'm going to finish this next verse. Read verse 11 with me. Did you bring your Holy Ghost pencil? Eraser? You should be used to it by now. Matthew 3:11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and in fire." There you are. There's a whole difference between this religious act and getting filled with the Spirit of God. Because only the Spirit can bring you relationship, because God is Spirit, right? Hallelujah. Now go to Matthew 23. So he's probably blowing them out. What do you mean get baptized in the Holy Spirit? One of the things that the religious spirit does is come against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even after you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, it tries to deny that you were. Matthew 23 and verses 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do." Let me tell you, that religious spirit loves to preach but can't do what he preaches. "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. By all their works they do to be seen by men, they make their..." Fleckers? Fleckeries? What is that? Flectories? "Broad and enlarge the borders of their" what? "Their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." In other words, they love self-exaltation. Let me share something with you. I see many people following the spirit of religion. Many. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to become an officer in the body of Christ. But when people begin to manipulate and stuff and whatever, and I see it happen, to try to become an officer in the body of Christ, that's not God, that's religion. Only God can open that door and place someone. Man cannot. Every time man tries to get some place in the body of Christ, if it's not God, he's exposed. And bam, he or she, doesn't matter. Some people only are doing things to get it exalted. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And that's that spirit of religion. Why? Because it's associated with pride, isn't it? Amen? Pride. Now, these are what I want to call like Old Testament Pharisees. Old Testament Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and so forth. Now, go to verse 14. Read it with me. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you receive greater condemnation. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, they love to pray in front of people. All of these soulish prayers. But he calls them what? Hypocrites, doesn't he? Go to verse 23. I'm just going to pull a few of these out. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. In other words, they do things that they can't do themselves. They say things that they can't do themselves. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and common cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. In other words, the spirit of religion is always self-centered, has a self-righteousness, blames everybody else for what they're doing. Hello? Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and are all uncleanliness. Dressed up, smell right, but inside you're dead. Hallelujah. Go to verse 34. Read it with me. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechia, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Now remember, there was the religious spirits that crucified Jesus. Has everybody got that? It was the religious spirits that crucified Jesus. Why? Because he was there exposing their wicked deeds. Ooh-wee. Your light is going to expose. That religious spirit hates to be snagged. That religious spirit becomes unforgiving, self-righteous, bitter. That religious spirit wants vengeance and always wants to be in the right and will fight to prove it's right, even when it is right. Hello? See, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't have to prove that we're right. Because there's only one right, Him. Amen? Does everybody understand what's happening? It's real easy to get snagged with that religious spirit. Amen? That religious spirit can't control its tongue. Flips and flaps like a flag in the wind. And it's got its own logo on the flag. These are like the Old Testament prophets. I mean not the prophets, the Old Testament Pharisees and Sadducees. You know. But we have modern day ones now. Oh, big time. Go to Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. brother Saul, who became Paul. Now here was a man that was bound to the letter, right? He was bound to all of his traditions and so forth. I mean, he could not stand the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't even understand why. Because of that religious spirit that harbored him, that was passed down in generations. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He wanted to get rid of anyone who was of the way. He was so bound by traditions of men. See, they had the truth written in the Old Testament, but they didn't understand it. There were a few of them that did. And they understood when Jesus was there that he was the Son of God. Nicodemus was one who got revelation because he was a humble man. See, some of them were so involved in their clique of being a Pharisee or a Sadducee and the Sanhedrin and so forth. You know, if they had Harleys, they'd have been known as a gang. You notice how people always label something? You know? Oh man, you're a rider? You're a biker? I'm a cruiser. You know? You know, certain things, certain way people dress and so forth. You know, some things are, and there are some gangs that symbolize a certain dress, isn't there? Amen? Fraternities and sororities and stuff like that. But in that arena, the fraternity and sorority and whatever, and gangs and whatever, they were known as the Sanhedrin. So they dressed a certain way, didn't they? They loved to dress up and have nice places and tell people what to do and couldn't do them themselves. But they were actually bringing people in bondage, not freedom. In fact, if you look about in certain religions now, they justify themselves by what they dress like. Amen. Now, you and I have to have wisdom, don't we? We're not going to dress according to bring somebody a stumbling block, are we? Amen? Because we're men and women of God. But there is a place where people are so concerned. I mean, I've been at places where I've seen women up on the roof, putting a roof on with a dress on, because they believe that that's how it made them righteous, you know, which is incorrect. There are certain... religious organizations, that the men are not allowed to wear shorts. You know. And because they fulfill what they believe as self-righteousness, which is a form of religion, isn't it? That's bondage, isn't it? My God. What if all their pants are dirty? What are they going to do? You know. Saul, who is coming against the move of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Listen, when you sense coming against the move of the Spirit, that's a religious spirit. And of course, we know that every demon is the spirit of Antichrist. Does everybody understand that? But there is that religious spirit that carries and harbors those two strong men, which is fear and pride. And most of the time, they're afraid they're going to get found out. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, to God be the glory. And verse 4. Read it with me, please. Well, you know what? Let's start a little bit back. In verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Read it together. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit brings or gives life. That's powerful. And that's the separation between those who are bound by the letter and those who are bound by the Spirit. Because with the Spirit of the Lord, as if you'll go over to verse 15. Would you read it with me? No, verse 16. Now we can start at 15. That's cool. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? So when someone turns to the Spirit, does everybody get this? When someone turns to the Spirit of God, who is who? The Holy Spirit, amen? When someone turns to the Spirit, that's why John said, man, I come baptized in water, the remission of sin and repentance. But I'm telling you, one's going to come who's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and is going to remove that veil, who's going to circumcise your heart. He's going to baptize you with fire and burn out all that garbage, and you're going to be a new creation in Christ, and all things are going to pass away if you'll let it. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom or liberty. Not freedom to sin. Freedom from sin. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to share something with you, very important, because in these latter days, that religious spirit is going to perk up more and more and more in many areas. And I've shared this before, that I was threatened by a religious spirit. Individuals that were claiming to be believers. My wife and I both had a dream one night, and the Lord warned me about it. And I went to this place, and they actually closed me in a room. And these religious spirits, these men that were claiming to be believers, and they have Jesus over everything. And it blew my mind. And they were trying to deny. They said that my encounter with the Lord was an illusion, and that Sister Teresa was a witch, and this person was that, and whatever. They came against every move of the Spirit that there was. In fact, there's a radio talk show, and there are many of them that come against the move of the Spirit. These men and women are bound by the spirit of religion because they do not understand the fullness of the Scriptures. They're bound by the letter. And I saw this man in the spirit with a double-odd shotgun shooting believers that were spirit-filled because of the gifts of the Spirit. And he actually believed that they were devils. He actually believed he was killing for God, just like Saul was. And I saw this. I saw this huge shadow behind him, and then I saw this man with a sawed-off shotgun. Well, I was there. That religious spirit will cause you to hate the move of the Spirit. Cause you to hate it. And you must be careful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Go to John 5. Can a religious spirit be inherited? Yes. Very much. Oh, praise God. John chapter 5 and verse 38. not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe, Jesus told them. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Abiding. In other words, they read it. They knew it. They couldn't walk it. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You know how many people, because they know the word, think they have eternal life? And these that are which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you what? May have life. May have life. Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, so many people are in love with the book known as the Bible, but are not in love with him. That brings religion. There have been individuals, and I was ministering in one of the jails, that I share with everybody one day, because he's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with seeking the word, don't get me wrong. But people become so bound to the letter that they lose the presence of God isn't there. And that's where the letter brings bondage and kills, because first of all, the word will kill you, because if you can't walk it, right? And there were actually gentlemen there that I asked one day as we were worshiping the Lord, let's lay down your Bibles. Just lay down your Bibles, because these guys were having a hard time worshiping God. I said, man, why don't you lay down your Bibles for a couple of days and just worship the Lord? No way. This one dude kept telling me, man, I sleep with my Bible underneath my pillow every night. I will not leave my word. I can't lay it down and just worship God. I've got to have my word. I said, okay. He told me he was bound by the letter. And he will continue in the vicious cycle that the devil has him in. So he was released. A few days later, he came back. Then I saw him in another county when I was there. Came back again. I said, oh, hallelujah. You're willing to lay down your Bible now and seek the writer? Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to lay down your Bible forever. You know what I'm saying? But there's a time when you've got to seek God. There's a difference between relationship and religion. When you have a relationship, you're seeking the Lord to tell you where to go to. There's a time when you no longer just go to the Word. You go to the Father, and He tells you where to go to the Word. Or else you become bound. What happens if you left your Bible home? Oh, no. See, can I remember that? Oh, it's not about remembrance, because the Holy Spirit quickens you to it. See, then what you're relying on is what you know instead of who you know. There's a difference. Sometimes some people say, where's your Bible? I say, I got it. What do you mean? It's written in me. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Word of God, His laws will be what? Put in our minds, won't it? Amen? Do you know that not only is this whole written Bible in you already, but beyond what's written is already in you. The whole thing is we're always looking at an outward arena instead of an inward. If we'd listen more to the Holy Spirit, we'd already know what's what. But let me tell you, when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I didn't read the Word. Actually, I was afraid to. I was afraid I'd lose. I saw so many people reading the Bible, but to me it was like, and you know, I was just a child of God and ignorant in many areas. But I thought, man, well, all those people have a relationship with that word. I'd go in my prayer closet and go talk to my dad and hear him. I was afraid of falling in love with a book and losing my love of him. Then I realized, and he taught me how to have a balance. And a relationship of knowledge and a relationship of him. But never allow the relationship of knowledge supersede my relationship with Him. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Go to Ephesians 6. Are you getting this? Good. And verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. and not in the power of your knowledge. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And what else? And not in the power of your knowledge. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? Tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Religious spirits are actually powers of knowledge, aren't they? Think about that. Did you ever get involved with someone? I mean, I get letters and calls all the time of people boasting on their degrees and coming against what? A revelation of the Spirit. And they can quote the scriptures all around it, but the scriptures, if they really understood it, they're actually testifying against themselves and they don't even realize it. Sometimes I have to write a letter to some individuals just saying, I pray that God will grant you the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, and that He may open your ears and eyes and heart to receive what He is saying and not you. Hallelujah. That religious spirit loves to be self-righteous and self-justifying. That religious spirit will try to prevent you from fighting in the Spirit. Like I shared, blames everyone else. Justifies. He does not want you to be a part of the warfare in the Spirit because he may be exposed. Is everybody okay on that? Good. Go to Colossians chapter 2. That religious spirit has a hard time worshiping. Has a hard time worshiping. That spirit will do everything he can to prevent you to get in the presence of God. And you can do everything you're trying to do to get in God's presence, and he won't let you. He will not let you. You can sing, dance, and praise, and he won't let you get in. He's got your mind everywhere else but the face of Christ. So next Friday night you can get rid of them, right? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations of men? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of what? Men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility. And neglect of the body. But are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Let's see, if I do this, if I do that. There's a lot of I do's that can't fulfill the I don'ts. Only your relationship can. Sometimes you can do all the quoting you want and God isn't going to rescue you until you call on Him and cry out to Him personally. But I'm doing all the right things. Sometimes the one thing, sometimes he doesn't allow certain things to happen in our life or work in our life because he's been either trying to expose us, expose that spirit, or he just wants all of us. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Self-imposed religions, that means self-imposed beliefs. Well, this is what I believe. What's the word believe mean? follow. Well, this is what I believe. How many people don't believe the whole Bible? How many times they skip over where it says demons? Or anything they have to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Or the gifts of the Spirit? Ooh, man. I've had people come up to me and want to start arguing over the gifts of the Spirit. I just back off. I've been attacked by chaplains in the jail that want to argue over it. It's like, forget it. I've been attacked by my ponytail. Hallelujah. I've been attacked by all sorts of areas. But praise God. They just don't know. We just bless them and pray that God will... I mean, I pray that every time when that happens with someone, I usually pray, Lord, please slam dunk them in the Holy Ghost where they can't pray in English for 3 days. So they know. Now, when I first got slam dunked in the Holy Spirit, I used to go to places and tried because I was free. You know, I mean, I was free. I got freed. I wanted everybody was bound by drugs and alcohol, man, to get free. Anyone who was bound by anything, demonic oppression, they get free. I used to get rejected so many times. And they'd quote scriptures. It would blow me away because I didn't know the scriptures. That's all I was trying to do is speak the truth, and they were trying to speak what they read and didn't understand it. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? Are we done with this? Praise God, we are. James chapter 1. Praise you, Master. Verse 26, 27. If you'll read it with me. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the lusts of the world. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody in this room is associated with the Spirit at some time. We all have. So if you're thinking you never have, you probably got a couple of them there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Read it with me. In verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh to lewdness the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into what? Bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So we see here that there are many with flattering words who live in error. There are those who've touched and tasted the truth and they have fallen back to religion. Religion, which brings what? Bondage. Amen. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. And so having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Hallelujah. It's called the spirit of religion. You know, I know individuals that are out on the street preaching the gospel. They go home at night and use. Yeah. Or you know, I've counseled with many individuals that religion was beat into them. In other words, people grew up hating God because the parents were beating religion. I've seen programs on TV where families have adopted children and raped them and abused them and chained them and walk around with the Bible claiming to be children of the Most High God and holy. That's what the spirit of religion does. It brings shame to the Lord in a great way. And abuse. Amen? And abuse. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Glory. Glory. 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 2. And Paul writing to them and says, then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And when I went up by what? Revelation. And communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run in, or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So what was happening is they were trying to compel, even though they became believers, but some of the old traditions, they were trying to compel them to become circumcised in a justification of their self-righteousness. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth. That's not stealth bomber, it's stealth. To spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us what? Into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I've had individuals. Did you ever hear about individuals who come against parts of the church because they don't celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday? That's religion. Because Jesus is the Sabbath. Amen? But in fact, the Word says, and they believe that because you don't practice the Sabbath or have your fellowship on Saturday that you're going to go to hell. And they teach it and preach it. That's wrong. They've fallen from grace, haven't they? And they bound themselves into the law. And now, when you bind yourself into the law, the Word says that if you break the least of them, you broke them all. In fact, the world is going to be judged by the law. But we will not. Unless you choose to bring yourself under the law. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians 5. Starting at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the law, because that's what they were trying to prove, weren't they? You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Praise God. Go to verse 22. Read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. envying one another. Why? That's a spirit of pride associated with the spirit of religion. You know, one of the things about the spirit of religion, can't receive godly counsel. That spirit of religion becomes a yes person. Yes, 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 yes. But it's actually two-faced. But it's actually two-faced. That's the spirit of religion, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, one of the fears that the spirit of religion handles is losing control. A spirit of religion hates to give up control. That's the fear of it. Is everybody with me? So we see that the spirit of religion is pride and what? Fear. That religious spirit carries those two strong men of fear and pride. What it does is try to protect itself with pride. And what it's afraid of is losing control. Oh, Jesus loves to strip us from those things. Hallelujah. He loves to put us out in the wilderness or out in the water with no raft. Help. Then he throws us something. Says, hold on. Eat off my faithfulness. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That spirit of religion will prevent you from getting the deep things of God. From you going deeper. Everybody got that? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Listen, that spirit of religion is so involved in the world. And listen, many people have their own beliefs, don't they? Think about how rampant. People have their own beliefs. Well, I believe that, you know, fornication is okay. I believe that if I'm a good person, that's the spirit of religion, isn't it? It's preventing the truth from being manifested, isn't it? It's the spirit of religion. How many times have you, you know, I mean, I know when I was in the world, I believed if God made marijuana, it was okay. I mean, he grew it, you know. You know, I mean, all of these things of my beliefs, but they... That was my religion. Do you understand? When you had your own beliefs, that became your own religion. You know, we were very religious on what we did on Friday nights. Because we believed it. Hallelujah. I want to show an example of... go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, who was presently king, seeing that I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. So Saul was still in office. He was still king. Okay? But God was choosing himself another king. In verse 13, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward, so Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So we see that the Spirit of the Lord was lifted. The anointing was lifted for Saul to maintain that position. But God, out of his mercy and grace, who anointed David, kept David near Saul so Saul can continue to fulfill the kingship, his office. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now go to chapter 18. In verse 6. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had come out of all the cities of all Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry and saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000 and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. Now what more can he have but the what? Kingdom. Jealousy started to arise. The spirit of religion always has jealousy. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at the other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. But he had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the Lord, before the people, because he was hoping that David would get killed out in war. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. Whew. There goes that fear. Amen. See, here's an example of that religious spirit going after the anointing. Saul chased David down constantly. Oh, to God be the glory. Go to verse 22. And Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law. Oh, that religious spirit loves to lie. So Saul's servant spoke those words in the hearing of David, and David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am poor and lightly esteemed man? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. And Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So he told him, go out and get me 100 foreskins. So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. Therefore David arose, went, and he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Now, did Saul really want to do that? No, but he was committed afterwards. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy, what? Continually. That religious spirit would always chase you down. But remember, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That religious spirit always comes against the anointing. Does everybody understand that? It is important that spirit will come against the anointing every time. But you and I must take dominion over it. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Not a spirit of Saul, it's a spirit of religion. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, hallelujah, we've read this enough times. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of what?
Selves.
Themselves. Lovers of what? Oh, hallelujah. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, whether they're lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power, and from such people what? For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible individuals, loaded down with sins, led away by various loves, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, not being able to get set free. Become gossipers and busybodies. Can't be free. Go to 1 Timothy 3. Hallelujah. So if the Holy Spirit is saying, no, wait a minute. If you're saying he must be speaking about me tonight, believe me, the Holy Spirit is speaking about all of us. Why? Because he's in a mission to rescue. This is a faithful saying. If an individual desires the position of office or bishop, it's the same thing as office. He desires a good work. But an officer then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever, not a violent, nor not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own household well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Those are requirements to become an officer in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In other words, that separates that religious spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Claudius. Start at verse 1. We're going to close here. Start at verse 1. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Don't let the religious spirit put you to sleep either, right? He's got friends in low places. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification. Your separation unto the Lord. That you should abstain from sexual immorality or lust of the world. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody got it? Don't they, that spirit of religion is going, you're going to see run rampant even more and more. You'll see people fall, backslide, and try to promote themselves. It's a fruit. Remember, you know them by their what? Fruit. You and I are to know these spirits by their fruits, right? So whatever he's trying to convince you, whatever he's trying to impress on you, you must discern that spirit so that you don't fall into that snare. We are to be blameless and spotless of the world. That's why the word says that we must deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross and follow him. Deny ourselves. When we can't deny ourselves, then we deny Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. And we come against that religious spirit that would try and hinder anyone in this room tonight. And Lord, anywhere there's that religious spirit, we just command that spirit to break its power off all of us and the people of God in this house. We command you, associated spirits, with that spirit of religion, of pride and fear, to break your power off of everyone in this house and loose us and leave us in Jesus' name. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill us and take your rightful place in those areas where we have been associating with the spirit of religion, pride, or fear. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now we command those spirits to go in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.